In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Well, it's great to have you with us here on Mornings with Tom and Tabby. And it's time now for Open Line Chat featuring our good friend, Eva's husband.
That's good.
Dr. Michael Reidelnik is with us. If you've got a question about anything scripture-wise or Israel or something that you've heard maybe on Open Line this past weekend, you can let us know at 423-629-8900. Hi, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really, really good. We have, of course, you probably have this too, an eclipse that's coming by this afternoon.
An eclipse, exactly. And I got questions on Saturday about, is this the mark of the end of days? And no, that's just plain silly. There have been, I remember this same eclipse, 1970, and it said the next one, it's 2024.
It's just the way life is in the heavenly beings.
And there are verses that talk about there will be signs in the sky, that there'll be earthquakes. But those all pertain to the tribulation period. The tribulation period starts when a future false Messiah signs a covenant with the leadership of Israel. That's Daniel 9:24 through 27, Daniel 9:26 and 27. So that hasn't begun. So we're not in the tribulation. These are not the signs in the heavens. These are not the earthquakes that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. It's just totally unrelated. Just because there was an earthquake on the East Coast doesn't mean that we're in the end of days. I just find it amazing. I actually do believe that there are teachers who prey upon genuine, sincere believers who want to see the scriptures come alive. And there's teachers who know better, and they use this to stir up the masses. And it's just unfortunate. And I'm really, really disappointed in them.
Yeah. Michael, if I could just ask really quick, what do you think is fueling these fears? Is it teachers like this, or what's omnipresent about this eclipse? Well, I was amazed that the amount of people that are so concerned about this particular eclipse.
They were just as concerned a couple of years ago when there was going to be a red moon.
Huh. Mm.
You know, it happens all the time lately. I think it's because our society is degenerating in such an extensive way that it says in Psalm 11, when the foundations crumble, what can the righteous do? Mm. And it feels like the foundations of our Judeo-Christian culture, the morality that we have, are crumbling. And as a result, people think, oh, this must be the end of days. And therefore, every sign allegedly in the sky leads them to think, oh, this is the end. This is it. We're in it. And I think that, unfortunately, there are teachers, instead of calming hearts and saying, listen, what can the righteous do? I'll tell you what we can do when the foundations crumble. We can pursue the Lord. We can follow him faithfully. We can proclaim the good news. We can pray for a revival. There are so many things that we can do, rather than become frightened by the signs of the skies and things like that.
Say it loud for the people in the back, as we say, because I also have had a lot of conversations and I was trying to follow, and I watched the videos, I listened, and I thought, I just feel like This is, you know, anyway, your voice is very calming and factual and helps us stay grounded. And I think we're going to need those voices more and more as we go on. We need to keep going back to scripture, keep going back to our position as believers and not get swept away so quickly.
You know, I thought it was funny that I didn't do an opening word about this on Saturday because I didn't think anyone was really taking it seriously. And then I started getting the phone calls. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I should have talked about this. I may talk about it this coming Saturday. Mm-hmm. Because I just find it amazing. The psalmist in Psalm 11 says that when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes watch. He examines everyone. The Lord examines the righteous and the wicked. It goes on talking about how God's still on the throne. We may not think it, but we need to remember, for the Lord is righteous, he loves righteous deeds, and the upright will seek his face. That's what Psalm 11 tells us to do. So there's much better options than running around saying the sky is falling. The better option is seek the Lord and proclaim his word, and boy, that'll give us a lot of hope.
And a lot of things to do.
Absolutely. You're hearing the voice of Dr. Michael Rydelnik. If you have a question for him, text it in at 423-629-8900. We have one here for you, Michael, and it's about Saturday morning. Has nothing to do with the eclipse, though. Our friend Neil said that they heard you answer a question to somebody asking about remarriage or remarrying his ex-wife, and you encourage them to remarry. So his question is, does that not go against Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4?
Well, first of all, we're not living under the law of Moses. So even if it did, I would say we're living under the law of Messiah. It's a different situation. However, Deuteronomy 24 seems to say that a person can't remarry the person that they sent away after she marries someone else and divorces.
Oh.
And this is that the person asked about was neither of them had remarried, and now they wanted to marry each other again, and that would be perfectly fine. Mm-hmm.
So again, it's important to know exactly what it says about scripture. So the idea of remarrying somebody else, you can do that if it's your spouse, then you guys had not remarried anyone else in between the time where you were divorced. You can get back together and be remarried.
Now, I would even go further to say we're under the law of Messiah, yes, depending on the circumstances of the previous divorce, if there was some. It has a whole different circumstance under the Messianic Torah than there is under the Mosaic Torah. So,
Dr. Michael Rydelnik is our guest each and every Monday morning. Michael, it's always great to have you here with us.
Always good to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so our next question comes to you from Janice, as promised. And she says, when we speak about Israel, are we talking about land, a nation, a people? Are all of these? And I think I remember Jacob being called Israel. So it's just kind of confused about what are we exactly talking about here?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Jacob was renamed Israel. And then the people that came from Jacob were called the 12 tribes of Israel. And ultimately, that people was called Israel. They went to the land that was called Canaan. And when they were there, they were able to take it, and that was called Israel. Then that land area split after Solomon. Remember the son Rehoboam. 10 northern tribes were called Israel. Mm-hmm. The two southern tribes were called Judah. Israel and Judah. However, the people, whether Judah or Israel, were people of Israel because they were the descendants of Israel. And the land was called Israel. The God who they followed, or sometimes didn't, was the God of Israel. That's what we're talking about. And sometimes people forget that it really, when the Bible talks, not talking about the political entity, modern day Israel, although it is tied to it. What they did is, you know, there was a dispute in 1948 among the National Council of Jewish People in the land when they declared independence. Many people thought they were going to declare the name of the country Zion. Some people thought they were going to name it Judah, but ultimately they opted for the name that it was called when it was united, called Israel, and that's what was recognized. So it's linked, but that's what we're talking about: the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, the land of Israel.
So can I jump in with that follow-up? So when we're talking about end time prophecies, and I know I was at the seminar and I did take notes. But we are also talking about that political Israel, not just the people Israel.
Yeah, because the Bible foretold that the people of Israel would return to the land of Israel and be restored as a people there, and that would be the nation of Israel. So yeah, that's as we say in Hebrew, Medinat Israel, the country of Israel, the state of Israel.
Okay.
So, Michael, let me just continue in this follow-up, because you made a very interesting analogy when you were here in Chattanooga just a couple of weeks ago talking about Israel, that they're like the thyroid, kind of the regulator of what's happening in the region. As people think about Israel and pray about Israel, there's always these different things that come to mind about Israel. But just talk about the importance of Israel as we're moving towards maybe end times and what that actually might look like. Not using the eclipse as a scary thing, but truly biblical prophecy.
Sure. Well, first of all, I would say people say, well, we could watch Israel for the return of the Lord Jesus. Well, I believe that what theologians have called the rapture, what Eva calls the great snatch. It's the word that snatch is used in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord will descend and snatch us up to be with him. That could happen any moment. It doesn't depend on Israel. That's imminent. It can happen any chance. And we need to be ready for the Lord to return and serve him faithfully until he does. And then sometime after that, Israel will play a special role, because Israel will sign a covenant with the future false Messiah, according to Daniel 9, that will start a seven-year period called the 70th week of Daniel, some places called the tribulation period. The day of the Lord is part of it, the night portion of the day of the Lord. It's a seven-year period. When Israel signs that covenant, that's when it starts. And then the future false Messiah, called the Antichrist by some, he will break that covenant midway through, and that starts this with Israel, and that starts the second half, the 3.5 years, called the Great Tribulation, because it gets worse.
Yeah.
And then when Israel finally recognizes the Messiah, according to Matthew 23, 37 through 39, the Lord Jesus will descend with the armies of heaven with him, to deliver Israel from the nations that have gathered against her. And so Israel is the key to the second coming at the end of the tribulation. They have to believe in the Lord Jesus. That's Matthew 23, 37 through 39. Also, Zechariah 12, 10, they look upon the pierced one and mourn as one mourns for an only son, mourning in repentance for all the years of rejection. And also what Paul says in Romans 11, where he says that all Israel will be saved. That's what's talking about. The Israel at the end of days turning in faith to Jesus. The nation as a whole will turn in faith to him. So, yeah, that's what it's talking about. Then, of course, Israel becomes the nation that's central to the millennial kingdom. When it says 10 men from every nation will grasp the garment of a Jew and say, let us go with you, for God is in your midst. They'll be ruled by the King of Israel, Jesus the Messiah, King of the world as well, and they will bring people to the knowledge of him. Zechariah 8:23.
All right. Thank you so much for that review, and we can't wait to have you come back and actually do another prophecy conference on Israel. We're going to need one in a couple more years, I think.
Okay.
So just continuing this thought.
I'll open for the rapture first.
Okay. That's true. Continuing this thought with the Jewish people, Judy wants to know, if Jewish people came from Abraham, where did the Gentiles come from?
Everywhere else. Yeah. And even some Gentiles come from Abraham in the sense that Abraham has Isaac and Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever are the descendants of Ishmael, they're not the Arab people, as the Quran states, but they actually settled near Egypt. So you have Ishmael, and then the Jewish people are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not, because remember, Abraham had Ishmael, mm-hmm. his descendants are not Jewish. Then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Esau becomes Edom, and it's the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob, that become the Jewish people.